Hello everybody, welcome to the inaugural episode of LSE ESPN. I'm your host, Dylan.
And I'm Sachin.
This is the first episode of the podcast. Basically, this podcast allows us, the two most unqualified people to talk about sports, to essentially rant about sport, talk about like the biggest events and news in the sporting world.
Yeah.
So, Sachin, you want to talk about what we're doing in the first episode?
Right. So, basically, the 2022 NBA All-Star break is coming up, right? And we're really hyped for it. So, what we thought is on this podcast, we just take a look at the All-Star roster this year, talk about our mid-season predictions, some awards as well, and our experience watching NBA games from London in general.
I think we should just jump right into it.
Jump right into it.
Get started with like the NBA All-Star roster. So, Sachin... Yeah. Seeing the NBA All-Star roster, what are your initial thoughts?
Okay, so first off, Andrew Wiggins, right? We all know why he's there, because K-pop has an outsized influence on the NBA nowadays. It's insane. if that hadn't happened, we all know that he's been playing great, don't get me wrong. He's been a revelation this season, been great two-way, finally got the offensive in addition to what he had earlier as like a lockdown defender. But I think he wouldn't be here, and I don't think he deserves to be there.
Do you think he deserves to be an All-Star starter? Do you think he deserves to be an All-Star at all? Because, to be honest, I think you can argue for a case that he's an All-Star. He's definitely not an All-Star starter.
Yeah, I can see the case for him being an All-Star. I don't see the case for him being a starter. Like, if you look at the front court people they have in the reserves, Gobert, Kat, and Draymond, either one of them would be better over him.
I think Gobert really deserves to be there. Like if you look at like Gobert's stats, like I think he leads the league in rebounds. He's been playing really well for the Utah Jazz. But then again, the Utah Jazz usually perform really well during the regular season anyways.
Yeah. And you can't keep Gobert. There's always the whole thing that you can't necessarily keep him on the floor of a playoff team. Mm. Because you know he's too slow, he's too lumbering, and spacing gets him. Spacing will always get him.
I think that's also like on the... There's some aspects of that which is like the fault of the Utah Jazz, though. They don't have any perimeter defense.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert is kind of their entire defensive system anyways. So, you know, ups and downs, I guess.
Yeah. I don't buy him, though. I think the backcourt is great. I think Ja and Steph, like, 100% deserve it completely, even though Steph has, like, trailed off a bit recently. But
I think Steph is still playing at a level where he's maybe not playing at MVP candidate level, and we'll get into that later. But he's definitely playing at, like, Stephen Curry levels, you know? So, he's still Steph of the day.
Yeah, I also feel like maybe because of what he was doing earlier in the season, like 30 points a night, you know, 6 assists, like 5 rebounds. He's always been, I think, an underrated rebounder because he gets his 5 or 6 a night, you know? I think what he was doing compared to earlier on the season, we've just kind of seen him trail off. And if you look at the stats, he's had hot and cold streaks in his career. Like, I think even during the Golden State 5 consecutive finals run, there would be months where he'd just blow cold because what he does already is astonishing. So he's only human. It's basically reversion to the mean, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Since we're talking about the Western Conference starters,
yeah,
is there any notable people who are missing from the Western Conference that you think deserve to be there? Or people you don't think deserve to be there?
I don't think there's anybody who's been snubbed. I mean, I know there's been... The AD isn't there. He's an obvious one, but...
But AD didn't play that much.
Exactly. Right? I'm with you on that. I don't think he needs to be there and he deserves to be there. He hasn't played that much. He's looked very frail when he's played. There's no Russ, which I think is fair again.
I don't think Russ is in the conversation this year, man.
I don't hold it against the fans and like the players and the media for not picking Russ. I think there could be a case for Ayton, maybe, but I think if you look at, like...
You really don't think DeJounte Murray has a case at all?
No.
He's been playing really well for the Spurs, though.
He has,
like, really, really well.
He has, but is it like a good stats, bad game kind of thing?
To be honest, this is coming from kind of a biased perspective, because one of my friends is a huge Spurs fan.
Yeah.
But he said that, I'm not sure about this, but DeJounte beats, like, all guards in, like, as top 5 in like a lot of categories. So I'm not from, you know, from what I've seen from this, what the Spurs have been doing, yes, they're not really performing well, but like I think they'll be performing even worse if not for the DeJounte Murray being there like in the first place, you know.
I think you're right. I think he's definitely carrying a lot of that offensive load, but there are so many guards around and the West is filled with guards who have a better case, like Steph and Ja. You know,
of course.
Luka has not been as good as he was last year or a couple of years ago. And I think I don't even get away from the fact that he showed up way overweight. Like, he's the kind of, he's been playing himself into shape, and he's now, like, with what he did last week, the triple-double and everything. And there's Booker, there's CP3, there's Mitchell. Like, these guys have a legit case to be ahead of Murray. And there's so many guards in the West who are, like, really, really good. I mean, Dame isn't even on this, you know.
I don't think Dame has been playing, like, all that well this year, though.
He hasn't. But as an overall quality player, Dame is normally in the conversation for All-Stars positions, you know. So I think the West just has so many guards that it's, you know, DeJounte Murray not making it is fine. It's not that big a deal, I think, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's the case, let's move on to, like, the Eastern Conference. So, from what I've taken a look at, I don't think, at least for the starters, there are any, like, notable exceptions for the, or snubs from the Eastern Conference starters.
Yeah.
With the exception of Zach LaVine. So, this comes to debate. Do you think that Zach LaVine should have made it over Trae Young?
Yeah, so I think DeMar needs to make it. Like,
of course.
He needs to make it. There's no question.
At the start of the season, we were having, like, debates on whether DeMar would be, like, the second or the third option, right? And now DeMar is the first option on the Chicago Bulls. So he's been really, really good.
I think Trae has a good case. I mean, his points per game are, like, almost 28, which is really good. His assists are pretty high as well. Like, it's about 9. So he's putting up 28 and 9 a night.
Yeah.
Which is a really strong case. To be made for him stats-wise, but I don't know. He's not on a successful team.
Yes, that's the point.
Thing.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
The Hawks have not been good this season.
Yeah, they have not. They have not. Their defense has really suffered. He's not on a good team, but he's still having the impact that he has. And honestly, I really thought the rule changes with the getting to the free throw line. Yeah. I thought that would really hit Trae hard because it hit Harden so hard.
Oh, yeah. You know, Harden has now dropped off quite a bit.
Now he's starting to get to the free throw line a bit. I think he's getting like 7-8 times a game now. So he's starting to get back up to what he was. But Trae, for someone who's basically the Trae Young rule, it is. He's done really well. His scoring production is still up. So I don't know. I don't know, actually. LaVine's got better defense than Trae, obviously. He's always been a good defender. And he's got the height, you know. He's got the wingspan and everything. I think Trae should keep it, maybe, based on the stats, though. I think there's a case for Trae to be there.
Fair, but the argument is that the Bulls have been doing so much better than the Hawks this season.
True.
And, like, a big part of that is Zach LaVine.
A big part of it, yeah.
And DeMar DeRozan. So, you know, I'm kind of torn on this, like, honestly, like, Trae, don't get me wrong, Trae has been spectacular this season, and he's putting up great numbers. But is it like a DeJounte Murray type situation where because he's on a less successful team, you don't elevate his position as much?
So I think it's also got something to do with the fact that Trae is one of the most hated players in the NBA.
I think he's only hated by Knicks fans.
No, but I remember last year when he was doing his, you know, he was the whole foul line thing was coming up. Everyone would be like, that's not... So many people would be like, that's not basketball. You can't just jump into the guy and
yeah, his,
you know,
signature move last season was just like stopping mid, like, motion and just like...
Yeah, like you pump fake, wait for the guy to come to you, and even if he's missing you, you move to the side so that you get your shot off. And you know there's no way you make that shot. Like, it'll go hit the backboard. It'll be like a Russell Westbrook pull-up jumper. That's what it is. And you're just doing it to get to the free throw line.
So, for the reserves, do you see anyone who's like particularly... who you feel should have gotten in, or are you, like, quite happy with this? Because to me, the name that stands out the most, Chris Middleton.
Really? You don't think he should be there?
I think if the Bucks has a second All-Star, it's Drew, not Chris.
Interesting.
Like, I think Drew has been playing a lot better this season, and even then, there are some, like, notable names missing, like, for example, LaMelo. Spectacular in the Hornets this season.
If you didn't have Chris, who would you have?
I don't know. To be honest, I'm not sure how the front court voting works, but could you not just put in Drew in place of Chris? Because I'm not gonna lie, especially like from a lot of the predictions from the media and from a lot of the media I watched, Chris wasn't really a name that came up.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of All-Star voting, but he got in. I mean, he's been playing at All-Star caliber levels. I just think that there are several players who are playing at All-Star caliber levels who are like ahead of him, you know.
What do you think of Miles Bridges? Because that's the first thing that came to my mind. He's made a big leap in terms of production. He's been great.
If you think, if the Hornets has one All-Star, because I don't think they deserve that too.
You don't think they deserve the two?
Do
okay.
you think it should be LaMelo or Miles?
Oh, LaMelo, without question. That he's something else, and he seems like he's fun to watch more than anything else. I want to watch an All-Star game which is fun to watch. Like, part of the fun is seeing Steph pull up from literally wherever he wants because he knows it's an All-Star game and he's just having fun, you know? I think he'd be really fun. His bag of tricks is insane. His no-look passing, his vision, everything. really good, really solid stuff, and entertaining basketball as well.
Yeah, but other than that, I think the Eastern Conference All-Stars were like really, really solid this year. Like, Darius Garland, Fred VanVleet have both been playing at All-Star levels. Like, Darius Garland came out of nowhere for me, I'm going to be honest. As like someone who's like relatively new, been watching the sport for maybe like 1.5 years at the very max, like Darius Garland, I have not heard of this man before this season, and he's been playing fantastically.
Hey, you haven't heard of Sexland, though. That was their name. That was such a good name. Sexton Garland, Sex. It's a great name.
Him and Jared Allen have been the Cavs. And the Cavs have been doing so well this season.
Don't forget Evan Mobley, though. Evan Mobley's been great. Oh, but, okay, so I have something to say about the Eastern Conference reserves.
Yeah.
I would take LaMelo Ball over Harden.
Take LaMelo Ball over Harden?
Yeah, I would take LaMelo Ball
over Harden. You don't think the Nets deserve to have two All-Stars?
I think they do. I just think LaMelo Ball's a better pick than Harden for this. I think so. I think he deserves it.
I mean, he's back. I won't say that. Harden has definitely backslid. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he's not playing at the level he was playing, like, last season. Or, for example, his MVP season, where for, like, 2 months he averaged 40 points. But he's still been playing at, like, an all-star caliber level, don't you think?
I mean, he's been good, obviously. But I don't know. I think maybe LaMelo deserves it. Also, I have a big bias, which is that anybody who shows up overweight to the start of the season, I can't get behind you. I feel like you're a professional.
Zion's never gonna get an All-Star game.
It affects how I feel about the player. And I think All-Star voting is about how you feel about the player generally, right? And I cannot respect a professional athlete whose one job it is to be fit. Your body is your job, literally. Like, you can't show up overweight to the start of the season and unfit and be huffing and puffing your way around the court. If you see clips of Harden when he first moved to Houston, like his first couple of years there, his movement is like Steph. He moves off the ball. He's always over the court. He's doing stuff. He's involved. It's not just give me the ball, you sit, I'll ISO step back three. You know, it's not that. And so I feel like as a player, he fundamentally is a bit of a lazy player, I think. And we see...
Do you think he is a lazy player, or that's just how the systems have been built around him? Because, for example, you take a look at, like, the Rockets. Like, the Chris Paul Harden Rockets, right? Mm-hmm. The whole point of the system is just, you know...
To get him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I mean, I think so, yes. I mean, they were successful. They were a 60-win team. They made the conference finals.
They brought the Golden State Warriors, like the four All-Star-led Golden State Warriors to 7 games.
Yeah, they took them to 7 games. And if Chris Paul hadn't got injured, there's a case, like, they take them. They go to the finals. I think also it's the fact that when you're on a big three, someone inevitably takes a hit. And I think he's taken the hit because KD has just gone up a notch. KD has been unbelievable before the injury, of course.
Yeah.
So I think he's the one who's taken a hit. We saw it with Bosch in Miami, right? Bosch was the one who took the hit. Wade and
LeBron. I was going to say Kyrie was going to take the hit, but Kyrie's not really playing.
Kyrie's not really playing, which is, I still can't get over that. The man just refuses to get vaccinated. I mean, it's unbelievable, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess he's starting to play more now.
Yeah. But I feel like that, more than anything else, is going to, like, even letting him play will disrupt their flow. Because Kyrie is, it's not as though he's like a bench player who you can fit in and he'll fit in the system. Kyrie creates sort of like, he's a big three. He creates his own orbit around him. And then you have to learn how to play with him. And those three, since they've all moved to Brooklyn, have barely shared any court time together. Barely.
That's actually true. Like, I think, even before this season, I think there was like stats where like the Brooklyn Nets big three like only played like a handful of games together. Maybe like 20 games?
They barely spent any time together because, you know, first season... Somebody's injured, something's going on, like playoffs. Then in the playoffs, Kyrie was out for the playoffs. I remember the Bucks series, and then Harden was half of Harden because of the hamstring as well.
So, if only KD's foot wasn't so big.
Oh my god, if only his foot wasn't that big. That I remember I watched that game with my friend, and we were up at 3 a.m. watching it, and we were literally jumping around the room when he hit that, you know, fadeaway. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Oh, but speaking of the Brooklyn Nets and winning titles, this is a good time to transition to our next topic. So, what are your mid-season predictions? Like, based on the games that have been played so far and with the upcoming All-Star break, who do you think is gonna, for example, let's start with MVP. Who is your MVP candidate?
Okay, Sanjay? So this is the confusing one, right? Because there's been a lot of talk of Embiid lately and he has been going off. But my issue is, like, I want to know, how many games has Embiid played, right? He has, because the first half of the season, it was a struggle for the 76ers. Like, it genuinely was. So I know there's been a lot of talk of him, but I don't 100% buy him. I'm more inclined, before KD got hurt, I would have picked KD. I'd go with Giannis maybe. I think so, because he's just been out there doing his own thing. He gets the points. He's doing everything he needs to be doing for the team, you know? And he's learned, he's matured as a player. I remember for the first half of the season, Milwaukee didn't have their people, right? Middleton was out, Drew was out. There was always a rotating cast of people playing on. And he just kept chugging away. He just kept going. And I think he's learned to not give his 110% in every game. Because I remember they did an interview with him and he was saying, I've learned that it's okay if I lose because I'm still doing my job as part of the system. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really important there. So I think I would give it to Giannis maybe. I think he's in contention. KD, if he didn't get injured. Jokic is also in contention. But I feel like Jokic has got the downside of being on a bad team, you know? And I think for MVP, the team that you're on counts for a lot. What about you?
Okay, I'm not just going to be controversial here. And actually, I don't think this is controversial. I think Jokic is pretty clear, for me at least, for like MVP candidate. Because Jokic basically is the Denver Nuggets. Like, if you think about it, right, he still doesn't have Jamal Murray back. And he's just played like a ridiculous season. Like, he's performing better than last year where he won MVP. And he leads the league in so many of the advanced categories. Like, he leads the league in offensive win shares per 48, box plus minus, offensive box plus minus, and defensive box plus minus. It's, like, ridiculous. It's ridiculous what he's doing. One of the big criticisms of Jokic before his MVP season, and even, like, to an extent, like, last year, was that he didn't play that well on defense. But this year, I think his defense has improved. And on top of that, he's still like the quintessential positionless basketball big where he makes passes, he scores in the paint. He's so good. Like, every time you watch Jokic, like, Jokic isn't like flashy, you know? He's not like Steph or Trey, but he just gets it done. And the stats he puts up are unbelievable. You remember when Russell Westbrook got and won MVP and his team was like six, right? I think it was like on the OKC.
Yeah.
And people were saying that, oh, you know, the reason why he won MVP, despite the fact that he wasn't playing for like a 3 seed or a 2 seed or a 1 seed, was because he was putting up unbelievable numbers. I think Jokic is doing that now. I'm pretty sure he's like averaging like a triple-double like this season. He's ridiculous. You know, I think Jokic is my clear pick. Yes, Giannis has been great, right? Embiid has been great. Don't get me wrong. I think he's leading in points per game. And like, KD as well, but Jokic is not only statistically far away the leader, he's also more durable than Embiid, who's, I think, in the Kia like ratings ladder, I think he's first right now.
Yeah, for MVP. He is.
And he's definitely more durable than KD now. So, I don't know. My pick is Jokic, I think.
Okay.
Jokic for MVP.
So, I got two things to say to this.
What?
First, and this is something that came up when Giannis won back-to-back MVPs. Yeah. Which was, look at the people who won back-to-back MVPs historically.
Yeah.
It's a very prestigious thing. And yeah. I remember the thing was that, did Giannis deserve to be in that esteemed company?
Yeah.
Because it's Moses Malone, it's Bill Russell, it's Kareem, it's LeBron, it's MJ, Tim Duncan, and Giannis. Now.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at those, arguably before the title win last year and before what he did in Game 6, yeah, which was unbelievable, you couldn't talk about him in the same world terms as these guys.
Of course.
Or you couldn't. So, do you think Jokic should be in those, that company as a two-time
MVP? I think, yeah, the problem with Jokic is that Jokic doesn't have much help right now.
Yeah.
Like, Denver, don't get me wrong, Denver have been okay, but they haven't been, they don't really have, like, the all-star quality help that Jokic needs to win the title. Because right now, both the offensive and defensive system in Denver have, they've just been Jokic, especially with Jamal Murray out. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't put him up there just yet, but I think if, like, they give him some help, you know, I can see Jokic like being in that conversation.
Okay, my second question is, what about Steph?
Okay, I think Steph was far away the clear winner for like the first quarter of the season. But with his like recent slump, I know, yes, he had that 40-point game recently, but he has been having a recent slump and that can cost you. You know, to be MVP, you must come in like night in, night out, put in the work, like be the best player on the team. And Steph, to a certain extent, he's been like slipping recently. So, you know, I'm not sure. I wouldn't put Steph in the same like conversation. I think he's still MVP candidate, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But he needs to do something really spectacular, like, you know.
So you think there's still potential? You know, he's had a rough January, we know that. Yeah. But if he gets hot for the next couple of months...
But he needs to get really hot.
No, but like, what if he does what he did last season? What if he gets that hot? Where he was like, what was he, 33 points a game or something in the final stretch?
Okay, we'll have to see. Because it also depends on how other MVP candidates like perform. So like, Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic don't show any signs of slowing down.
Yeah.
I mean, KD's obviously injured, so... But because they don't show any signs of slowing down, Steph really needs to do something spectacular in order to get up there. Because you have to realize the system that Steph plays in is also way more cohesive and way more built around him. He doesn't have some of the advantages that some of the other guys have, you know. Although a large part of the reason why that system is so effective is Steph.
Yeah, it is Steph. And I think he's completely unique. And I think it's been talked about a lot, but it has to be said, he's unique in that he's the most unselfish superstar out there. He doesn't need to hog the ball. Like, LeBron comes into a team, he takes over the team. He controls everything, you know? KD comes in, the scoring is built around him. Steph doesn't need that because he works off the ball so well. And I think you saw it when Durant went to the Warriors and he gave up what he had to give up for him because he was a two-time MVP. He was a unanimous MVP. And he gave it up to win another title. If he gets hot, and we know he always goes hard at the end of the season, we know this. I think he's still in there. He's still in the race, you know? And especially if the Warriors, you know, they come and they clinch, like, you know, they take the 2 seed or the 3 seed. If they take either on the top 2 seeds, it's them and the Suns, really. If they take that, I think he's got a good case to be made. And I think what matters for MVP a lot as well is the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative of Golden State having a shit season last year. And nobody expected them to start like this. Nobody expected Jordan Poole to be what he is. Nobody expected Wiggins to make the leap. And nobody expected Steph to be so insane in the first half of the season. So I think the narrative matters a lot. And I think he's got a great narrative going for him to try and win this award.
Actually, right, speaking of people who have missed out, right? How do you feel about LeBron? Because LeBron has been playing on a completely dysfunctional Lakers team. Like, let's be honest, their big three is not working out in LA. But LeBron has been spectacular. He's been really, really good. So, do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think, like, LeBron is in the same conversation? We should put LeBron up there with, like, Giannis and Jokic and Steph?
For conversation for MVP? I don't think he's played enough games, that's the thing. And LeBron's at the age, like you said, to be MVP, you have to go hard, night in, night out, you know? And I think as he's gotten older, he's learned that he doesn't have to go hard all the time. And he needs to save himself for the playoffs. That's where they're really going to need him. He's having a great stretch right now. Don't get me wrong. He's, 38-8 every night now, basically. It's insane. The production is insane. Yeah. But I don't think this is sustainable. I think he's dragging them through right now. I think he will slow down eventually. He's 37. He can't be running coast-to-coast, dunking it every night.
He's still doing that.
He's doing it. I could be wrong, but I think he knows as well that he needs to save those coast-to-coast, you know, over-the-head windmills, whatever he's doing. He needs to save them for the playoffs when they need it, when he can take his time and pick apart a team.
Mm.
I think he's in the conversation, yes, but I think he's also missed quite a bit of game time this season. But if he keeps this up, if he goes hard down the stretch at the end, I mean, anything's possible, honestly. I think he's there. He's on the fringe. He's about to get into the, you know, get into the club of competing for it, but he's not there yet, I think.
Oh, okay. I mean,
what do you think? Yeah.
What do I think of LeBron? I'm inclined to agree with you. Like, I think LeBron is playing really, really well. Don't get me wrong. But he has missed considerable amount of time. He had an injury early in the season. And if we want to consider team performance, if you think the Nuggets haven't been not playing well, LA is like, it's been really dysfunctional down there. So I'm not sure I'll put him in like the same category.
I mean, to me, LA is just entertaining to watch because they're so bad and they don't fit together. I mean, you see, even the way they start games, LeBron will throw it through his legs to Russ and Russ will jump around and spin or whatever. And I get that's a weird tradition, but don't be doing that when you're like barely a 500 team, you know, like that's not the time to mess around and do your spin move or whatever you and Melo have been doing since you were in OKC together.
Right, so how about Rookie of the Year? I think this will be a pretty short conversation because there's one clear winner, isn't
it? Okay, who's your winner?
I think it's Evan Mobley. I don't think it's like close. Maybe France, but France has been like kind of hot and cold. He's been playing really well, don't get me wrong, but he's like really explosive in some games and sometimes he's not. Like, you know, sometimes he's like just a good rookie.
I think Mobley, for sure, I'm with you. I think Scottie Barnes came out the gates really strong.
Cade as well. Cade didn't start as hot, but when Cade like started getting used to the pace of play, I think Cade has been performing well.
He has. Yeah. But I think you're right. Mobley's just anchored the defense of the Cavs. He's been great. And the whole...
I think Mobley has been good enough that you could make a case for him to be like all defense first team. And
that's, first team.
I think so. Like, he's been really, 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 really good on the Cavs. Like, he's been excellent.
I think there's a case for all defense. I'm not sure first team
necessarily. Okay, yeah. Maybe first team is kind of a stretch. Yeah, not gonna lie.
Yeah. But I think Rookie of the Year, it's quite clear that he's going to be there. And
this draft class looks really good, though. Like, we look like we are in for like a lot of stars. Like.
I'm honestly really excited to see Chet Holmgreen, because that guy crossed Steph Curry. And anybody who's 7 foot crosses Steph Curry, like, sure, he's not the best defender, but a crossing pro NBA player when you're in high school like that, I'm excited to see
him. We have so many good young stars in the league now. We have, like, Ja, we have LaMelo.
Yeah, yeah.
Evan Mobley looks good. Franz Wagner looks good. Like, the Rockets have, like, a bunch of, like, the top... Like, the Rockets are, like, filled to the brim with young talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so really, really exciting.
Yeah. So, I've got to admit, though, I'm a little disappointed in Jalen Green. I expected a bit more.
I think Jalen was supposed to be, like, the most complete prospect coming to the draft because, at the time, like, there was problems with, like... I think they were talking about, like, Cade's shot or something like that.
Yeah, Cade's form looks a little strange sometimes.
But Jalen is... really, really hot and cold. So, like, when he's hot, he's, like, really on. But he's not very consistent.
That's the thing. I expected him to come in, and the whole rhetoric about him and all the analysis said that he was going to be a great scorer, you know? Yeah. That was the whole thing. But I don't think he's necessarily been able to do that, really. Yeah.
Okay, besides that, how about your defensive player of the year? Who do you think is going to win?
Okay, so I've... I feel like the default pick is always Gobert because, you know, he does what he does. He crashes the glass well. You know, he's good on defense. He's a good rim protector. But I feel like I'm picking it because to be different.
Yeah.
But I want to go with Draymond.
I think this is a two-horse race, though. Like, I do think it's like Gobert and Draymond.
Yeah, yeah, like, definitely.
Like, there is a case for Gobert and there is a case for Draymond. Like, obviously, like, Rudy Gobert is the Jazz's defensive system, basically.
Yes,
they don't really have three-point protection.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you could make the argument that Draymond is very much, like, the leader of, like, the Golden State Warriors, like, really staunch defensive system, which has improved, like, dramatically with, like, Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, like, taking leaps in that area. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess to be contrarian to you, I pick Rudy Gobert because I think Rudy Gobert, if I'm not wrong, he is leading the league in rebounds. I'm not sure if he's leading the... Leading the league in rebounds. So, and I think he's second to Jokic in terms of defensive rebounds. So,
yeah.
I put Rudy Gobert up there, yeah.
I just feel like Draymond is playing with, like, a completely different level. And he always seems... He's an overly competitive guy.
Yeah.
And you see it. It came out in the goals he was. It's what led to the whole fight between him and KD, which was, you know, a big deal at the time and everything.
The dog.
Exactly. He's an overly competitive guy. And I feel like this season's come back and he's trying to remind everybody that I am still a great player. I am still really good at what I do. And I think...
I mean, he's an all-star this year, which deservedly so.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that you get with Draymond is your modern NBA defender. He can guard pretty much everybody. Yeah,
okay, but I have a question about Draymond, though. Like, the thing is, he's injured now. So, do you think that affects his case at all?
See, again, I think the thing is, a part of the reason why I'm going with Draymond is because I don't... Like, we can't just revert to Gobert as the default every time, you know?
Gobert wins 3 years in a row.
Yeah, I can't take Rudy Gobert as a three-time defensive player of the year. I don't feel he deserves that. I mean, if I had to vote, I'd vote for someone else over Gobert if I won't vote for Draymond. Like,
that's fair enough.
On principle, because I don't think you can just keep reverting to this default of Gobert being great. And he is great, but I think the last two postseasons have shown us you can't keep him on the floor in the postseason. You can't, because he just gets taken apart. He's good at guarding your center. He's good at, you know, rim protection. But the way the NBA is played now, you need spacing and he can't guard multiple positions.
I think we spoke about this earlier, but I think that's also the fault of the Utah Jazz just not having
any exactly, three-point exactly. defenders.
So I'm not sure how much blame you can put on Gobert for that. But I think defensive player of the year is like pretty clear a two-horse race. So
yeah, exactly.
Six man of the year.
Okay. I want to know what you think first, actually. Because before we record, you were kind of excited to talk about this.
Okay, I think it's pretty far and away Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero, like, I think, like, I was watching NBA on TNT.
Yeah.
And, like, quite a lot of the NBA and TNT guys voted for Tyler Hero as, like, the Miami Heat All-Star over Jimmy Butler. Yeah. And, I mean, I don't agree with that, but I definitely could see that. Like, Tyler Hero, he's been spectacular this season. Like, after he played so well in the bubble, and then after that, everybody thought he was, like, washed or he backslid last season.
Yeah.
He's, like, came in this season and shown, like, hey, you know, he can still do this. Right? And, like, he's been rapidly improving.
So here's my question. I think there's a good case for Hero. What's the criteria for Sixth Man of the Year, right? Like, do you have to be off the bench or can you have been a starter for part of the season and then you
okay, get that's back? The thing.
Because the case I'm trying to make...
Oh,
it's okay.
Yeah.
The case I'm trying to make is Jordan Poole then. Because Jordan Poole is now a sixth man for the Warriors, basically.
Yeah, but I think he started, like, too much of last season in order... of this season in order to qualify as Sixth Man of the Year now. Because he only is now on the bench because...
Yeah, exactly. Because Clay's back. Because Clay's back. Exactly. So that's my point, which is that... What's the criteria? Like, does he have to be a sixth man? Can he have started some amount
of time? Okay, at least to me, right? Because I'm not sure whether there's, like, any official regulations on this.
Yeah.
You need to have come off the bench for, like, a sizable chunk of the season. And, like, until Clay came back, which was basically...
December.
December. So, until Clay came back, Jordan Poole spent maybe about a third of the season being a starter. And I'm not sure you qualify after that.
I don't know, because I think if you can disregard that, there's a case to be made for Poole to be there over Hero, maybe, or with him, or between them, then it becomes a two-horse race. Otherwise, I'm with you. I feel like he's been the man, you know? He's been the guy who's been coming off the bench, giving them like 18 or 20 a night, whatever it is he's giving around that number. And it's been great for them. It really, really has. And he gives them...
The Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson game where they like scored 16 between themselves. That was mad.
No, and that's what... When Robinson has an off night, he gives them that shooting that they need. Because Jimmy Butler's never going to pull up from three. Never. And Bam's not pulling up from three either.
I mean, I've heard a lot of criticism online that the only reason why Tyler Hero is doing so well, like he's scoring like almost 20 points a game, is because he's basically playing with like the other bench units of the NBA, aren't as strong. But I'd say that no, I think Tyler Hero has shown that, you know, he's that guy. You know?
But also, that's your job as six man, right? You come on and you are the star the bench.
You are the spark plug.
Exactly. That's your job. So I feel like that criticism is kind of unfair because then you're criticizing the whole idea of a sixth man, maybe.
For me, it's still, like, Tyler Hero is still, like, far and away, like, Sixth Man of the Year. Like, he's running away with it.
Running away, yeah.
So, speaking of running away with it, most improved player, who do you think is going to be the most improved player of the year?
Most improved player of the year. I think Ja. I mean, Ja is the obvious pick. I think he's just taken the leap. He's been insanely good.
You know what's the worst part? Like, Ja wasn't even playing that badly last season. He's just been playing insanely this season.
He has. Because I was looking at the stats, right? The similarities between Ja this season and Derrick Rose's MVP season, right? I think Derrick Rose was 25, Ja is like 24.5 or something. The rebounds and assists are similar. I think his field goal percentage is higher. The shooting is insanely similar. Everything, it's like a mirror. And we've always heard like Ja being compared to D. Rose because of the athleticism, the dunking, and the fact that when people see him take flight, they get scared. Like this, I'm scared when I watch him because there's no way his knees can keep doing that for the next 10 years. There's no way one day he doesn't fall. He's getting twisted. He's concorded. I hate to say it, but it scares me like to see him fly like that, you know?
But yeah, Ja, I think Ja's pretty clear cut, but I mean, just to throw out a few other names out there, Miles Bridges has been really good.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as much of a, you know, I don't think he's as improved, I guess, as Ja, but Miles Bridges has been really good this season. Yeah, I think he's probably my like second pick if like I couldn't pick Ja because
Ja
is pretty clear cut.
No, I'm with you on that. I think it's also the fact that the better you are, and we already established that Ja was pretty damn good last season, the better you are, the harder it is to get that incremental gain.
Yes.
And the fact that he's made that leap from being already a pretty damn good player to being,
like a all-star starting.
Exactly,
Like, nobody's questioning the fact that, like, I think Ja's in his second season was,
Second or third.
Yeah. Second or third season. I don't think anyone's questioning the fact that a second or third year player is, like, starting in the all-star game.
Exactly.
And I think the last time we saw that was, like, when Luka started, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, Ja Morant, you know, he's been doing really, really well. Like, he's been carrying the Grizzlies, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy. He's the most improved. I think there's no question about it. I like that. That's the most. Yeah.
Right, okay. Other than that, right, what do you feel about the games that have been played so far? And, like, who do you think is going to make the playoffs? And who do you think is going to get the, win the ring, you know?
Okay, so my pick for the title, you're asking, basically.
Yes, I am.
So I think a lot of it comes down to injuries, obviously. So if we look... Okay, let's do this conference-wise. Let's go east, right? Yeah. I think...
So, at time of recording, Bulls first seed, Heat second, Bucks third, Cavs fourth, 76ers at fifth, Nets at sixth, then Raptors, Celtics, Hornets, Hawks.
Yeah. So I think we've only seen the Bulls without Caruso for a couple of weeks now.
Oh.
And it's still... It looks okay. Yeah. They're all right, you know? But I have to wonder down the stretch when... You know, when your KDs, when your Giannis is, when your Jimmy Butlers, they start pulling up. Can they keep it? Like, are Levine and DeRozan up to the task to keep it going through the season?
I think a big part of it that we are not talking about as well, who's the last member of the big three that we don't really talk about, is Vucevic has been kind of underperforming this season.
Yes.
And he, if the Bulls have any chance of winning, he needs to step it up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the playoffs.
But I think... Like, either of... Honestly, for the Eastern Conference, I would pick the Bucks because I think Giannis is consistent.
Yeah. And, I mean, Chris and Drew have both shown, like, that they will show up in the playoffs before.
They will show up.
And they showed up last year. They showed everyone up.
Yeah.
But, to be honest, I think the Bulls stand, like, a pretty good shot. On the condition that Vucevic steps it up. If not, I'm inclined to go with the Bucks as well. Although, I think the Heat is, like, a big dark horse in there. Like... The Heat, I think Jimmy Butler and Bam have been quite alright. And obviously Tyler Hero is like great. But we've yet to see... And remember, right, this Heat team, the core of this Heat team, we got to the finals in 2020.
Yeah.
So it's possible, especially the addition of Kyle Lowry, that they...
And PJ Tucker.
Yeah, and PJ Tucker. That they are going to make another finals. So I'll put him as a dark horse. But I think for me, it's between the Bucks and the Bulls.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Western Conference.
Okay, so that's where it gets interesting because we've seen the Warriors kind of trail off a bit in the past in January, right? Because Steph hasn't been so hot. And I don't know if Klay is still on a minutes restriction, but he's not getting his, you know, 30 minutes a game right now, which is fair. You know, he's come back
from... Last night he was like 6 from 6 from the floor.
Yeah, that was insane. Downtown. That was insane. So he's still got it. I mean, he's got the form. He's dunking now. It looks like... I mean,
from when he came back and he did the dunk in his first game back, that was like... That was when you knew Klay Thompson was back.
But also, I don't know if you feel the same, but I've been reading a lot and watching a lot as well. And I think that because he's been out for 2 years, and when you're out with that kind of an injury, you train on your own. I think Klay's ISO game has gotten better, like a lot better. You know, I think he's still your classic 3-and-D catch-and-shoot guy, you know? He'll take 13 dribbles and hit whatever how many points he has to hit.
But do you think that he'll need time to, like, adapt back into the league? Unless, are you telling me that you think that come playoff time we'll have all-star Klay Thompson back?
I think we will. Ooh. I think we will. I think KD has shown that injuries like that don't have to be that devastating if you take your time to come back. He took the whole season off, you know, and he came back better than ever. But I think also that KD is KD. And
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Kevin but Durant, I think the thing is, Klay doesn't move the same way.
Yeah.
And I think there will be questions like in the Warriors' defensive structure, Klay has always been the one guarding the best player because Steph isn't about that. You can't ask him to do all of that as well. His defensive game has improved, but you can't ask him to guard the opposition's best player. But I don't think he's going to be able to do that. He doesn't move as well. He's a bit slow. I think he's lost a bit of pace. And I think that'll come. Like, by the time playoff comes, he'll play himself into shape. You know, hopefully his movement is better. Maybe he's still a bit hesitant on the knee. But I think overall for the West, I would pick the Suns. I would pick the Suns because...
Suns over the Warriors?
Yeah, to win the West, I would pick them. It's between the two of them. I think that much is pretty obvious.
I mean, I want to be optimistic and say the Suns as well because I want Chris Paul to finally win a ring.
But that's the thing. I think... Yeah. What do you think about this? Chris Paul has a history of breaking down in the postseason. It happened. Something happened to his hand last year. We don't know what happened to his hand. The Suns didn't say anything.
Yeah, okay, but Chris Paul's, I think, like, about LeBron's age.
36.
So, yeah, so he's getting up there in age.
That's what I'm saying,
But the Suns also have a very traditionally, like, strong legacy, just like the Jazz, of performing quite well, at least this Chris Paul version of the Suns, in the regular season.
Right.
But they did make it to the NBA Finals last season, although there were injuries. So, I don't know. I think the Suns have an actual chance. Obviously, I think the Warriors have a chance as well. But I think it's between the two of them. I think that's like, especially, like, you can take a look at the wins right now. I think there's a sizable drop-off after the first two seeds in the West. Yeah. Like, just for reference, like, at the time of recording, the third seeds are the Grizzlies, then Jazz, then the Mavericks, Nuggets, and Timberwolves. And after that, it's like Clippers, LA, the Trailblazers and stuff. But I think, like, it's between the Suns and Warriors, basically. Like, the Western Conference is so competitive that there's basically a two-horse race, I'm pretty sure. Because the Jazz, without three-point protection, they're not gonna get far into the postseason. And as much as Ja has, like, improved and is playing like an MVP candidate, I don't know. I can't see him, like, carrying the Grizzlies for that long into the postseason, especially with the fact that they have limited, like, postseason success experience, you know?
That's the thing. I worry about the experience for them. And the thing with the Suns is these guys are guaranteed one of the two spots, right? There's no way they lose one of the top two spots, you know? So I would say, down the stretch, give Chris Paul a break. Play him less. Because if Chris Paul breaks down, Chris Paul is the LeBron of your team. You're relying on him that when you get into the playoffs and it's game five, you know, it's an important
game. It's
either
game. Him or Book, basically.
No, but Book can't pick apart a defense the way Chris Paul can. That's Book's fair. A mid-range savant. He's unbelievable. And he's added some good three-point shooting this year, which has made him really... It's taken him up a level. But Chris Paul, in terms of what he gives for leadership, in terms of what he gives in terms of picking apart a defense, picking the right pass every time, being consistent with his mid-range and his steals as well, his defensive game. He's 36, but he still moves great. You know, he's still guarding really great players and doing well and locking them down. I think they should, if they're guaranteed one of those top two spots, I think they should rest him. I think they should let him go.
Is this some Kawhi Paul George load management argument?
You have to load manage a guy who's 36 years old. I think you just, and has a history of breaking down the postseason. Yes, you have to load manage him.
Okay, I mean, that's a fair argument, but I mean, obviously, it'll be more exciting for us fans to see, like,
obviously,
the Chris Paul, Devin Booker Suns throughout the regular season. But I think that's probably quite a smart argument. I think that's one of the reasons why they're not, other than the fact that Klay's just coming back from injury, that they haven't, like, brought Klay out in full force.
Yeah.
Because they want to, they hope that Klay will be, even if he's not 100% himself, he'll be about, like, 90% of himself by the time it comes to the postseason. And thinking about it, like, I would give the Warriors the edge over the Suns, simply because the Warriors are way deeper, at least, I think. Like, the Warriors bench unit looks a lot stronger. They have Jordan Poole now.
Yeah.
Obviously, Klay is back.
GP2?
Yeah. Oh, yes. GP2 has been playing really, really well.
GP2 is a lockdown defender. Yeah. He's, ugh.
And other than that, they have, like, Kuminga as well. So, yeah. You know, I think I'd say that because of depth, which is kind of important in the postseason, I'd give it to the Warriors.
And don't forget, Wiseman's coming back.
Oh, yes, he is.
Wiseman's coming back, and he'll give them some rim protection.
Yeah. So, overall, if we take our picks, who right now,
yeah,
in February of 2022,
yeah,
who would you say is your pick to win it?
Okay, so you've gone conference-wise, but I think the championship... See, it's very difficult for me because I have a Warriors bias. I love the Warriors. I love watching Steph. I love the way they play basketball. I love the whole identity that they have in everything.
But who do you think will win it?
I can't bet against Giannis. Not after what happened last season. Yeah. Not after that.
So you think back-to-back, dude, if Giannis wins back-to-back titles, he cements his legacy.
Because I think what he's done, he's what, 27?
Yes.
The resume he has as a 27-year-old, the moments that he has, the block from the finals last year on Ayton, the 50-point game, it's, and his, more importantly...
Also, I just realized, I didn't realize this before, but if your prediction comes true, we're going to have a rematch of the last year's NBA Finals.
Yeah. Well, hey, I said the Suns might take one seed. I didn't say they'd win, they'd make it to the finals. I still think, in terms of making it to the finals, I think you can never, never discount LeBron. You can't. Like,
LeBron?
You can't. I'm not saying the Lakers, I'm saying LeBron, because there's a difference to me. You can't discount him dragging them through to the...
He's the ninth seed, man. I don't know.
They were the eighth seed when they won the title in 2020.
I mean...
You can't discount... Look, you just can't. You can't bet against him.
LeBron has been playing very well, but I think this team, like the Lakers team right now, especially with like AD kind of out, and the system basically being dysfunctional as hell... I'm not sure if, like, the Lakers are going to make it very far. I'll be honest.
I think they make the first round through the first round, I think.
It depends on who they play in the first round.
Okay, so if we say Lakers are ninth right now, so they win the play-in game.
Yes.
They finish seventh then, I think, if you win the play-in. So seventh, they play the Warriors that right now, right?
You really think they're going to beat the Warriors? Come on. You think, LeBron has been spectacular, don't get me wrong, but you really think he's going to beat the Warriors?
I would not bet against LeBron. I'm scared to bet. Everybody bets against LeBron every year. He's too old, he's washed.
I'm not betting against LeBron. I'm betting against Russ, AD, and the rest of that Lakers team. Like, I think AD is too fragile. And he's back now, but who knows if he's gonna get injured. Russ leads the league in turnovers, which is not a stat category you particularly want to
lead.
And I don't know, like Malik Monk and Carmelo, none of their players have been like really anything. They've all been underperforming, if I'm perfectly honest.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think
Frank Vogel's going to have to tell, if they go to the playoffs and if they play a well-organized team like the Warriors, I think they bring Russ in off the bench. I don't think you can start Russ against the Warriors. You can't. Because...
Okay, sure. You start Russ off the bench, but then who do you bring on in place of Russ in order to deal with the Warriors system?
I think LeBron becomes your point guard no matter what, right? He's going to be one bringing the ball up, running the place, controlling everything. So you can... You know, you can bring in one of their bench. The thing is, the problem is they gave up too much to get Russ. Like, yes, if they had did. Caruso, yes, I would say, yeah.
Yes, they did.
If they had, you know, KCP, I would say, yeah.
Actually, if you take a look, right, everybody they traded away has been playing really well.
They have.
Kuzma has been playing really well this season. Been great. Caruso has been playing really well this season. Basically, I think it was a huge mistake for them to make that trade.
It was.
It was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Hell, by the time like this podcast gets published, Russ might be gone by the trade deadline.
I
can't see any team absorbing that contract.
So I saw a theory. Yeah. Russ for John Wall again. Would you do it? If you're the Rockets, would you do Russ for John Wall? If you're the Lakers, would you do it?
No, I wouldn't. Russ for John Wall? I don't know. I really don't think so. Like, if I'm the Rockets, I really want to rebuild. I just wait out John Wall's salary. And in order to, you know, bring in a big name free agent in the future, like, I really can't see it. Sorry.
I mean, so here's the thing. John Wall is sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'd do if I were the Rockets is I'd say, look, you're giving me Russ. I'm going to make Russ sit on the bench as well. Because it's quite obvious what they're doing. They're tanking like crazy.
Yeah, right? Of course.
And they're betting on it, right? And they've got the young stars. They've got the picks from the Harden trade.
I think if you trade John Wall for Russ...
You need something else. You're absorbing...
Russ's salary as well.
Yeah.
And a longer contract. I think John Wall's contract is going to end in like 2 years. Like, Russ still has time.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd use it. If I were the Rockets, I'd make that trade and I'd get something else from the Lakers.
But the thing is, what do the Lakers have left to trade?
That's the problem.
How many first round picks have they given up to trade for Russ?
Exactly. So that's the thing. I don't know what, but I wouldn't make the just straight swap. I wouldn't do that.
No.
And if I were the Lakers, I would try and trade Russ for John Wall. I would.
I would too, but I don't think the Rockets would be interested in that.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless there's some like sign and trade deal that can get a third team involved, do something. I don't know what can happen. But I would trade Russ for John Wall. I would do it because he's the only guy who's in a similar situation to him.
The real question is, would you trade Ben Simmons for James Harden?
Would I trade Ben Simmons for James Harden? If I'm...
Because there are big rumors going around right now that James Harden is not happy in Brooklyn and wants to leave.
So if I'm the 76ers, if I'm the 76ers...
Okay, of course if you're the 76ers. The question is if you're...
But if I were the 76ers, I would do it for sure. If I was Brooklyn, I would give them one more season.
Hmm.
I would give them one more... I would wait out this season.
That's assuming that James Harden doesn't try to force his way out again.
I think Katie and Kyrie would be like, no, man, like, come on, stay with us. Stay with us one more. Because... That's the whole reason he came to Brooklyn. The idea was that he was going to the 76ers. Yeah. That was going to happen. That's the whole reason why Ben Simmons was unhappy, because they knew they tried to trade him. And then KD and Kyrie interviewed and were like, no, come play with us. Come play with us.
Also, I can't believe like it's gone one full circle that initially James Harden was going to be traded for Ben Simmons when he was on the Rockets.
Yeah.
And now we've come full circle. Now he's on the Nets and they're going to trade him back for Ben Simmons.
So here's an out-of-the-blue idea I just had. Yeah. Would you trade Kyrie for Ben Simmons. Both are not playing for their teams. Both are not playing.
I can't give an opinion on this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what vaccination laws are like in Philadelphia.
Okay, assuming he can play in Philadelphia. Assuming he can play in Philadelphia.
Ooh, that.
See?
I think Kyrie is a better player than Ben Simmons. For sure. Ben Simmons is not playing. And Kyrie is not really playing either. So... Yeah. I'd have to give it a think. I don't think I could answer you right now. Yeah. Like, I need to do more research.
Because I was just thinking, if we're looking at players like Russ, and like Russ is not working, or John Wall is not playing,
yeah,
that's a trade that could work. You know, Harden is unhappy, Ben Simmons is not playing, that's a trade that could work. But then, of course, Harden's happy to go to Philly because I think he's from there, and like Daryl Morey reunion, he's always going to be up for that, you know. But I'd be interested to see how Embiid's mentality would fit.
Oh, with Harden, with James Harden, yeah, right? That's a good point.
I feel like Embiid is a very Jimmy Butler-esque player. Mm. You know, he wants to win. He's focused on winning. And unless Philly has, like, you know what? We know what Harden's like. You know, we know that he's there. He's all about, you know.
He could be a diva sometimes, yeah.
He can. He's about making money, basically. He's really happy that he makes a shit ton of money as an NBA player, you know? And if he shows up overweight, I can't imagine Embiid not getting mad. Like, if he shows up overweight to preseason and camp and everything.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time to get into our last topic. So
yes, yes.
Your experience, like, trying to watch in the NBA as an LSE student, and more particularly living in London. So how's it been for you?
Honestly, it's the time zones are messed up. It's really hard to watch games. So what I typically do is I'll watch the game the next day sometimes. Or if I don't
watch... Do you watch the highlights or do you just watch the whole game?
Depends. Like, I watch the highlights on, like, Instagram or Facebook, you know, because you get those immediately, and I'm like, oh, I want to see what happened here, you know. Like, House of Highlights, you'll always get...
Bleacher Report. NBA,
exactly. Yeah, you're always getting the highlights, you know. But I also like to... I like to read the stats, and, you know, because I want to know who's doing what, obviously. But I think in terms of watching games, like, if I have a couple of hours free, you know, I'll just put on a game and I'll watch a rerun of it. Even though I know the result, I think it's always fascinating just watch how people are playing, because I think there's the eye test, right? Like, no matter how great advanced stats are, I always want to see them play with my own eyes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair.
What about you? Yeah.
Okay, so I think I've done a lot more, watched a lot more basketball games than you, but that's also because of my first year of a lot of free time on my
hands. That's fair.
I've spent a lot of late nights in, like, some of my friends' rooms watching watching basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been this weird trend that every basketball game we watch, because we always pick, like, good matchups.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
We watch, like, the Bulls Warriors.
Yeah.
Like I think that was the most recent one we watched. And we were all expecting that to be like a really exciting game.
And it's a blowout.
And it was a 40-point blowout by the Warriors.
I hate it. There's nothing worse than staying up, sacrificing your sleep to see them fucking blow.
Yeah, and then watching Lonzo Ball throw the ball, like, have 5 turnovers against Iguodala, like, in 3 quarters, you know.
It's
But yeah, you know, I may or may not have sacrificed some of the time I should have been spending to write my formatives, like, watching the NBA. So, you know, I think it's very different from, like, the experience I had, like, back home. Because back home, I'm from Singapore. It's so much easier to watch because of the time zones.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, you can wake up in the morning and you can catch a game. Whereas here, you need to stay up to, like, 3 a.m. I think there are early games, but most of the early games are not that exciting.
They're not good. And also, like, same for me. I'm from India, right? So we get the games at, like, 5 or 6 a.m. Like, the early games at 5 or 6 a.m. And the normal ones are 8 or 9 a.m., which is great. Like, you can wake up in the morning, you can do whatever you want, and you can just watch a game, and it's fantastic, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing that... Because I was a recent convert to basketball, and the thing that I find really annoying is the amount of breaks in the game.
You know, to be honest, I don't mind it. Like,
really?
As we'll get to later episodes, we watch a lot of sports.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm a huge football fan.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes with football, like, especially, like, if that I need to do something in the middle of, like, a game. Like for example, I need to use a washroom or I have to take a call or something. It's kind of annoying when, you know, I can't do that and I need to stay on. Because you don't want to miss any minute of the action.
Yeah, yeah.
With basketball, I mean, some of the breaks are kind of annoying. But I think overall it's fine. And it gives you time to do, like, take a break.
So I think for me specifically, it comes down to the fact that I'm giving up a lot of sleep to watch this.
Oh, that's a
And then
point.
If I'm up at 3 a.m., man, just get on with the game. And I don't...
Okay, we've done this thing where we've been taking, like, rotational shifts to take naps in between. Like,
Okay, yeah. Because I remember when I'd watch with my friends, like, when I was... Because I'm an exchange student, so I studied in France before this. And similar time zone, it's about an hour ahead of the UK, I think. So similar issues. And we'd just be sitting and watching my friends and I. And, like one of us would just close their eyes and you could tell he's asleep. So it was like an unwritten rule that you wake him up if something big's about to go down, you know? So like it's I feel like I'm already giving up so much, like I'm putting in so much effort. And then you're just gonna like take a break every 2 minutes. Like I get why, but it's also immensely frustrating because I've grown up watching football and cricket mainly. And cricket has breaks in it. But there's only like a 10-second break after every set of 6 balls that you play. And football has the halftime break and that's it, you know? And then I also watch Formula One, which is like 1 2-hour consecutive thing. You don't get any breaks in it. So I feel like the amount of breaks that you get, and especially when a game is close in the fourth quarter and they're calling timeouts all the time, I get really mad because I just want to watch. Like, it takes away from the flow.
So, yeah, I think on a whole, I think the process for me to watch games here has been way harder.
Yeah,
but, you know, I mean, I enjoyed NBA enough where I would still, like, sacrifice time that I should be spending sleeping or rushing my essays to, you know, watch a bunch of grown men play basketball,
Yeah, I just go for the rewatch instead. It's just easier. I can do it on my time. Like,
but the question is, right, because we're recording this before the All-Star, or the All-Star game. Yeah. Are you going to watch the All-Star game?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I want to watch the All-Star game. It's fun as hell, always entertaining. And I want to watch the three-point contest and the dunk contest. That's what I love so much. Like, what about you? What's your favorite part of it?
Yeah, I think my favorite part of it is probably the All-Star game itself.
Okay.
But, you know, one thing I really like about All-Star season that I really always really enjoy watching is the All-Star mock draft. I really like that format. Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun as hell.
I think this year is going to be KD and LeBron.
KD and LeBron.
Yeah, and they're going to be drafting players, and that's going to be really, really fun to watch to see them draft players and do a bit of lighthearted tempering, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
See who they want to, you know, bring the Lakers or bring the Brooklyn.
So one quick question. Who's your first pick for both of them? Just first
pick. Who is my first pick for both of them?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm LeBron, that is a good question.
Yeah, who do you pick?
I mean, this is kind of tough. Maybe Steph.
Steph, yeah. Okay, I
really like Steph in All-Star games. If I'm KD. This is a very very tough question. This is really really tough. I'm not sure. Are you obligated to pick someone from your conference?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you are. Yeah.
Oh, if that's the case, right? Oh, Jokic or Giannis probably. Like our MVP frontrunners.
You'd pick for both LeBron and for KD.
Yeah.
Okay. If I were LeBron, I think LeBron and Steph, they played together last year and it was fun to watch. Yeah. It was fun, you know? So I think there's that. But LeBron's great buddies with, you know, CP3.
Yeah.
And I think
you can't pick CP. You can only pick CP3 as like reserve.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah, sorry. So I think if I were LeBron, I'd go with... Yeah, I'd probably go with Steph.
What has been like kind of a downer in like previous drafts is, for example, if like when LeBron and AD were both like All-Star starters, LeBron is like obligated to pick AD.
Yeah, because he is.
If you don't pick AD, it's like kind of a...
Yeah.
Same with like Giannis and Chris Middleton last year as well. Drew, I think.
I would pick Wiggins last though. Like, I'm sorry. I don't think he's in the same caliber as these guys.
Yeah, I definitely don't think so. I think maybe if Wiggins and like... Maybe Rudy changed place, it'd be a lot more fair, kind of. I don't think, unless like Steph was, you know, the other guy drafting, which it's definitely not going to be because LeBron's going to win the West until he retires, basically.
for sure. But I think
there's no way like Wiggins goes like anywhere but last.
Yeah, there's no way he doesn't go last. I mean, also you look at the front court quality, it's insane. LeBron, KD, obviously captains, Giannis. Yeah. Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, like Wiggins is clearly behind
them. It's basically LeBron, KD, and 3 MVP candidates. Yeah. Like your top 3 for the current MVP race.
Exactly. So I think it's great. Yeah. I'm really excited for it. And I remember last year I watched the 3-point contest and Steph killed it. I want to see that. I want to see him compete again. I know he hasn't done it in, I think the last time he competed before last year was like 3-4 years ago, maybe. I don't know. But I want to see him compete in 3-point contest. I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, that would be really fun. Okay, so I think that wraps it up for our first episode. You know, I hope you've enjoyed watching. You know, if you want to hear the two most unqualified individuals on earth talk about like more sports commentary, you know, check out our next episode whenever that comes out.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Have a good day. Thank you.